Rather than a full sermon this morning, I want to leave time for our choir celebration. And so just want to offer a few brief reflections in this final leg of our journey on this road home for Christmas. This final leg we read from Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 25. During the rule of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was a descendant of Aaron. They were both righteous before God, blameless in their observance of all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to become pregnant, and they both were very old. One day, Zechariah was serving as priest before God because his priestly division was on duty. Following the customs of the priestly service, he was chosen by lottery to go into the Lord's sanctuary and burn incense. And all the people who gathered to worship were praying outside during this hour of incense offering. An angel from the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and overcome with fear. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to your son, and you must name him John. He will be a joy and delight to you. And many people will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the Lord's eyes. He must not drink wine and liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. He will bring many Israelites back to the Lord their God. He will go forth before the Lord, equipped with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of fathers back to their children and turn the disobedient to righteous patterns of thinking. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? My wife and I are very old." And the angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. I was sent to speak to you and bring this good news to you. Know this, what I have spoken will come true at the proper time. But because you didn't believe, you will remain silent, unable to speak until the day when these things happen." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered why he was in sanctuary for such a long time. When he came out, he was unable to speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he gestured to them, and he could not speak. And when he completed the days of his priestly service, he returned home. Afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. She kept to herself for 5 months, saying, "This is the Lord's doing. He has shown his favor to me by removing my disgrace among other people." It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I find it interesting that generally we hear this passage and we think of silence as a punishment or a curse for Zechariah's unbelief. And it's true that the silence came as a result of, or maybe a consequence of, his lack of faith. But I'm not convinced that it was necessarily meant as a punishment or a judgment. After all, we find Abraham and Sarah in a very similar situation, and when Sarah laughed in doubt, there was no punishment. We find others throughout the scriptures and even throughout the gospel doubting and questioning Jesus, and we don't find this kind of punishment. And so I wonder if rather we might think of this silence as a gift to Zechariah. And we'll see a little bit more of how that gift pans out at the end of the chapter in just a few minutes. But I want us to think for a moment about silence as a gift. We've all been on long road trips, and especially with children. Sometimes that long road trip may just be home from the grocery store when you've got certain children in the car. And you get to the point where you get close to home and you're almost there, but you just can't take any more noise, right? And so what do we suggest? What is our favorite game as parents in the car? The quiet game. We love the quiet game. Unfortunately, some kids just don't really care. They don't mind losing because then they can just keep talking. But we get to the point where silence becomes a gift. The noise is just too much. I remember years ago, before I was born, Mackenzie and I were riding with some extended family members, and her and I were sitting in the back of the van, and this one particular person in the family was one that just could not bear a moment of silence. Have you ever heard of somebody like that? I mean, just every second had to be filled. And Henson and I kind of got to the point where quietly we were getting annoyed with this, but we could tell. And so we started sort of counting seconds, wondering how long could the car go without a word from this particular person. We never got past one. For an hour drive, we never got past one. And there comes a point to which the noise, the busyness, the chaos, everything else of this season gets to be just a little too much. And silence may be the greatest gift we could ask for come Christmas. Remember being at a restaurant, one of our favorite restaurants, just the other week, and we got another manager and some of the servers there pretty well, and the manager was talking to us about Christmas, and he says he always goes to midnight mass on Christmas, all the family's already in bed, and he goes to midnight mass on Christmas Eve. And he said his favorite thing about Christmas always is after that midnight service, getting home, and everything is just still. The cars on the road, he just stands outside, and everything is quiet. He said the only other time he's ever experienced that kind of quiet, that stillness, that peace, is maybe on the morning, you know, fresh falling snow, when nobody's on the roads yet, early before they start scraping the roads, and everything is just still. We don't get those moments in our lives very much. We don't even get those moments in our lives in church because we come in and we really can't sit down and just be. We have to talk to everybody. We have to greet everybody. We have the fellowship. We're really good at fellowship, but we're not real good at quiet and stillness. And yet, we sing songs at Christmas like "The World in Quiet Stillness Lay" or "Silent Night, Holy Night." All is calm, and we know there's nothing calm about a delivery room. And there's nothing calm about Christmas for most people. I think Zechariah, in being given this silence, is given a gift that we should all take advantage of this Christmas. Because you see, when we speak into silence, we tend to destroy the mystery of that silence with things that are way too small. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it is in silence in which God is known. And through the silence of his mysteries that God declares himself. We're to be silent, he says, at the beginning of the day, so that God might have the first word to us. And we're to be silent when we lie down to sleep at the end of the day, so that God might have the last word. Baron von Hugel, a 19th century mystic, said to be silent before all great things. Let them grow inside of you. This is why when we face something tragic like a death, we just don't know what to say. We usually end up saying something stupid, something that annoys the other person, because we just feel like we have to say something. And maybe the truth is we don't. Maybe the truth is we can't. Because before a great mystery like death, there's just nothing that can be said that can ease the pain in that moment. Maybe we need to hold space for silence for one another, to hear from God alone. Sometimes, von Hugel says, we speak before great things and we shrink them down to size. When we speak of great things, we swallow them whole, and instead we should be swallowed by them. Before great art and great music, and above all in things of faith, that we must be silent before these things. And look at the result of Zechariah's months of silence. When we get to the end of this chapter, we find that Zechariah has come to the time of his childbirth, and his wife Elizabeth, who believes the angel, says his name should be John. But no one else in the family is named John. That's not a name that makes sense. And so everybody's questioning Elizabeth for her choice here, and saying, okay, what does his dad say? What does Zechariah say? And obviously Zechariah can't speak. And so Zechariah miraculously writes the name John on a tablet and hands it to the people. And everyone is amazed. And at that moment it says in verse 64 that Zechariah was able to speak again and began praising God. And notice what he says. Zechariah does not try to explain anything that happened. He doesn't talk about the night in the temple when he was made silent in the first place. He never has this sense of, this was my punishment for doubting or for not having faith. What he speaks instead is this song of prophecy about the promised one, about the Christ who is coming. And in these few verses that follow, we find 16 quotes or paraphrases from the Old Testament scriptures. Just between verses 60 and the end of the chapter there, 80. In about 15 to 20 verses, we get 16 Old Testament quotes. That tells me that something was happening for Zechariah in those months of silence. And what was happening was the same thing that happened back at creation. When all the earth was formless and void, when everything was silent, and God spoke into the darkness, and something came forth. In that silence in Zechariah's time during Elizabeth's pregnancy, something was growing in Zechariah as well. And it was indeed the word of God. And he had a clear picture so that what was spoken forth from that silence was something that was speaking life and new creation into the world. And here is his prophecy. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Bless the Lord of Israel, because he has come to help and deliver his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house. Just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago, he brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate. He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham. He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies so that we could serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in God's eyes for as long as we live. You, O child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, and you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins, and because of God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on this path of peace." Christmas is a time that has become very noisy in our world. And yet it's the time we recognize the Prince of Peace is born. So I'm going to invite us in these next few moments to spend some time in silence. We'll have a guided time of prayer. We're not going to speak out names or anything. I'll just speak a few categories of things we can pray for, and we'll just sort of pray those silently in our hearts. And then we're going to take up our offering, and we're going to take that time in silence as well. And as we do this, as we have this prayer time, as we give our offering, and the answers come around, I want you to think about these words from Zechariah about who Jesus is, about everything he came to do, about what it means to be saved, about what it means for the world to be at peace. And especially during the times when your mind is distracted and you start thinking about lunch or the Christmas play or all the gifts you still got to wrap or whatever else it is you got to do. When that stuff comes in, see, that's the reason we don't like to be silent, because all that stuff clouds our minds. When all that stuff starts sweeping by, just let it flow by. Just simply say the name Jesus in your mind. Breathe it in and out. To allow him to do it. And so in this prayer time, it won't be as much talking, but rather more listening. As we give back to the Lord our offerings, let us receive the gift that he has for us in this silent moment. And then we'll break our silence, as Zechariah did, with songs of praise, with the doxology, and with the celebration of praise led by our choir. And so I invite us into this time of prayer and silence. Heavenly Father, fill this space, this emptiness, this void, with new life, just as you did at creation,
just as you did in the wombs of Elizabeth and Sarah. And so now, Lord, in the quietness of our hearts, we pray for all those in need, in sickness and in grief. We pray for our church and our denomination. Pray for our nation and our world, our leaders, those who serve to protect us. We pray for the poor, for the addicted, for the refugee, for those who have nothing this Christmas. Pray for the ones who need you the most. And we pray for the ones who think they need you the least. Lord Jesus Christ, in your mercy, hear the prayers of our silent hearts and speak to us in these quiet moments. As our ushers come and take up our offering and we give our gifts back to you, may you bless us with the gift of this quiet moment, of this calm stillness. Speak to us, for your servants are here listening.